All right. Good afternoon and welcome to Ask the Vet. My name is Beth Broom and I am here coming to you live from Katie and Kay. We're going to talk about pet diabetes today. I am anxiously awaiting my guest to show up, but I just want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show and our number here is 963-2976. So if you do have any animal-related questions, please give us a call. And Dr. Foster should be joining me here in a moment. And we can answer any animal-related questions. But today's focus was going to be on animals and diabetes. So I know that a lot of people aren't aware, or maybe you are aware, that diabetes is common in both cats and dogs. And unfortunately, we do see a decent amount of diabetes in a clinic setting. And I wanted to ask Dr. Foster lots of questions about diabetes today. But until she gets here, I just wanted to remind you that the holiday is approaching, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and there is lots to be said for giving back to our local shelters in this valley during the holiday season. So if you're looking for a place to spend your time or your resources, there's quite a few wonderful shelters in the valley. Think about, we have three shelters I would recommend, Colorado Animal Rescue being one of them, Aspen Animal Shelter, and then Rifle also is a wonderful shelter not far out of our valley that is looking for both, you know, time is always great, dogs to be walked, cages to be cleaned, socialization with cats. There's all sorts of wonderful opportunity to volunteer your time. And then, of course, there is, there's also, always a list for Christmas as far as what can be donated. And since Thanksgiving is rapidly approaching, I just wanted to remind everyone that the shelters are always in need of all sorts of items. So call. A lot of times they'll have a list online as well. Okay, so Dr. Foster just arrived and we are about to talk about diabetes. Just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. So if you have any animal-related questions, call 963-2976. I'd like to welcome Dr. Liz Foster. Hi, Liz.
Hey, Beth.
Get close to the mic.
There we go. Hey, Beth.
Hi. All right. So let's talk about some diabetes. How often do you feel like you see diabetes with dogs and cats?
I would say that we probably see it more often in cats compared to dogs, but that's just me. But it's one of those things that I like to call a fixable problem. So it's not easy to fix, but it can be fixed and they can live with it.
Okay, well, you actually answered some of my questions I wanted to ask. I think a lot of people hear the diagnosis diabetes and think that they have to put their pet to sleep. And so that is not the case, correct?
That is correct. So it can be kind of a scary diagnosis at first. Yes, it requires injections in mm-hmm. your dog and your cat. Mm-hmm. And it does require some maintenance compared to other diseases out there. But it is definitely not necessarily a death sentence at first.
That's good. That's good. Good to hear for everybody out there that may or may not be dealing with that. You say you see it more in cats. What do you think the cause in cats specifically is that is causing these kitties to become diabetic?
So the most common reason that kitties will become diabetic is because they are too overweight.
Oh, and I think fat cats are so cute.
They are cute, but that is the primary reason why cats become overweight. And now that's not the case with dogs, so this is just cats.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get to dogs.
Yes, but if cats are overweight, that predisposes them to getting diabetes because mm-hmm. too much fat on a cat's body makes them resistant to our hormone called insulin, mm-hmm. And that's why they get it.
Okay, so if you have an overweight cat, definitely something you shouldn't be ignoring and thinking is just cute and actually addressing with your veterinarian about how to help them.
Absolutely.
And that looks like I'm guessing, diet change in a cat? I mean, unless you're going to put them on a treadmill or something?
Yes. So if you have an overweight cat at home, it doesn't matter what age they are, it is important to get them on a diet. And your veterinarian is probably the best person to make those diet recommendations. We can make suggestions on how to get that weight off of them. But the sooner you can get it off of them, the more unlikely they are to get diabetes.
Does it tend to be a senior cat problem, or can it happen at any age?
It can absolutely happen at any age. Okay. It can be a senior pet problem. I would say that we probably see senior pets with diabetes more often than younger animals, but it can absolutely happen at any age.
And just to remind everyone, just call in any animal-related questions today. Dr. Foster is in the studio and happy to take those questions, 963-2976. So dogs, what's the reason that it's happening to dogs?
So in dogs, there's a few reasons. So sometimes, and we all know this, sometimes just your genetics set you up for failure. Mm-hmm. So sometimes dogs can get it because their genetics just made something go wonky. Mm-hmm. Other reasons is the immune system can get angry. And we don't know always why this happens, but it can destroy the cells that make insulin. And another reason is that dogs can get pancreatitis. So dogs with really bad pancreatitis or with chronic pancreatitis, they can also get diabetes because the pancreas is what makes insulin. So
how does a dog get pancreatitis?
It's a great question, being that Thanksgiving is next week.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Pancreatitis in dogs is typically caused when they get into things. So if they get into the trash or if they get into a carcass outside. But also it can be caused by feeding them too much people food. That dogs do not do well with that most of the time.
Specific types of people food?
Well, very high fat, rich foods, lots of meats. And don't get me wrong, I know they love them, but a lot of meat, a lot of high fat foods, anything like that can just cause everything to go wonky. And it's not something that is going to necessarily happen right away, but always feeding your dogs people food all the time, that can definitely cause this to happen.
And especially in like large quantities at the holidays, for instance.
You got it.
Okay. Well, that's a good tip. And, you know, with the weight in cats, are there, short of that, are there any other predisposing factors?
You know, that we see sometimes in cats that male cats get it more than females. There are certain breeds of dogs, such as miniature schnauzers, that we see sometimes it happens more in. But honestly, overall, I see it in every breed, every size, shape, everything, dog and cat. It is more common, yes, if you look at it really, really broadly. But I think every animal is at risk for it.
Okay, that's good to know. Kind of like people, really. I mean, I think definitely everyone's at risk. So how easy is the treatment?
So the first part of the treatment, we all know, is insulin shots. And some people are a little bit averse to trying those, but it's just like in people where the needle is very, very small. And typically the amount of insulin that you're giving them is pretty small. And cats and dogs are so dang stoic. They actually handle it quite well. And you can count on your veterinarian and your veterinary technicians and the staff to make sure that you understand how to give it. And when to give it, and all of the who's and why's around that. Another basis.
Not to be scared of it.
Exactly.
Don't be scared of that injection.
It is not scary. Dogs and cats typically are not bothered at all. And a lot of them get really, really used to it to where they don't even feel it. Another huge thing behind treating them is a diet change. That diet change doesn't have to be very big, large, expensive dog and cat foods.
That's good to know, because I think cost is always a factor in some of these things.
It can be really scary. It can be really scary. So food changes, there's a lot of different options. And if the option that your veterinarian gives you is just not going to work for you, ask for another one. There is a large list of foods that that can be recommended. A lot of the times in kitties, canned food is better than dry. But again, if what they're recommending is not going to work with your family, then try something different, but ask your veterinarian, because there are certain types of food with certain nutritional contents that should be used more than others.
Okay, that's good. And just to remind everyone, call-in show, we're welcoming any animal-related calls, 963-2976. So, how hard is it to regulate a diabetic? I mean, once you diagnose your diabetic animal, are you going to be in the vet all the time? Do you anticipate something like that? Or is it pretty, pretty easy to get going and then just kind of stay what you're doing?
Status quo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
That's okay. In the beginning, it can be a little bit challenging because we don't know how much insulin they need. We can definitely make an educated recommendation, but not all animals follow the rule book. So we will give you a place to start with the insulin. And then typically, a veterinarian is going to ask you to bring your animal in for something called a glucose curve.
Gotcha.
And that is when they hang out with us all day long, and we take a blood glucose level every couple of hours. And that sounds maybe a little invasive, but it's actually not. Animals tolerate it quite well. And we make sure that their glucose level is staying in the avenue of healthy.
Good. Okay.
And so when we do that glucose curve, if everything looks good, we will probably recommend that you stay where you're at with the insulin. If it's too high or too low, we might recommend that you increase the insulin, decrease the insulin, whatever. And that is how we initially regulate them. But another way to regulate them or to know if they're regulated is how they're doing at home. In animals, that's a huge thing. So have their clinical signs gone away? How are they feeling? Are they eating and drinking? What do you think? Is Sparky the same Sparky he was before he started showing signs of diabetes? Or is he still struggling a little bit? And those things are just as important to us as blood levels of things. It's really important that they are feeling better.
What are the signs of diabetes? What should people be looking for with their pet at home?
That's a good question. So one of the biggest things people see is a lot of peeing and a lot of drinking. And that is across the board, dogs and cats.
When I drink, I pee a lot.
I do too.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest thing that mom and dad can see at home. Gosh, doc, they're drinking more. They're peeing more. It's crazy. It's driving me up the wall. So that's a classic sign. Another thing in, well, I guess dogs more so, it's more obvious, is that they gain weight. They're gaining weight. But they also can lose weight. So that's kind of one of those things where it's not as definitive as the more drinking, the more peeing. But it can be a weight gain. It could also be a weight loss.
Do you ever notice the sticky urine?
Yeah. So a lot of the times when people are wiping up the urine, they're like, oh my gosh, it's just icky and it's just staying on the floor and it's hard to clean up. Yes, that is 100% a sign of it, because they are losing sugar in their urine. And so that is why we see that.
Okay.
So, yeah. And anything just basically abnormal. They could be lethargic. They could be not eating quite as well. They could be eating way too much and kind of look starving all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's some good information for people. So what, when you have a pet that's been diagnosed with diabetes, what is it that, you can expect as far as, will it predispose them to issues later or as they age?
Yeah, any pet with diabetes, they have a chronic condition. So there's no way around that. They have a chronic condition that has to be managed. So in dogs, it's going to be something that they have to deal with for the rest of their life. Dogs cannot
go into remission.
No, they cannot be cured of diabetes.
Okay.
So that is something, if your dog is diagnosed with diabetes, it is something that you need to plan on managing for the rest of their life. And hopefully that's a very long life.
Right.
With cats, because of the fact that they get diabetes sometimes when they are overweight, it is very possible that a cat can go into remission.
Okay.
Meaning that if you regulate them initially with the insulin shots, and if you regulate them with the proper food, get that weight off of them, it's very, very possible that diabetes will go away. And that is awesome news. And when I say the diabetes will go away, it means hopefully we can get them off the insulin injections.
Okay. So the foods and things like that will stay the same.
A lot of the times it does, because the food, the reason why there are specific foods that we recommend is because it keeps their blood sugar level kind of status quo and constant throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And so if we get them to that level, we don't want them to go away.
Right.
So we want that to stay kind of regulated. Mm-hmm. So we typically do recommend keeping them on the food that helped them get there into remission in the first place.
Okay, that's good. And just to remind everyone, I know I said it before, but this is a call-in show. Any animal-related questions, please give us a call here. Ask Dr. Foster, 963-2976. So is there anything you can guarantee, like, I guess, especially in dogs, that you'll probably see change?
So, yeah, in dogs, sometimes when they have diabetes, and this could be a change that the owners see before we even diagnose them, but it's typically a change that we see as time goes on after we start treating them, is dogs can get cataracts.
Okay.
Cats can get cataracts as well. It's not quite as common. We typically see it in dogs. And that's because of, again, kind of, it's the reason for everything. There's too much sugar in the blood. Mm-hmm. And what that sugar does is it's going to build up in the eye, and that's not supposed to happen. So when we see cataracts with diabetic dogs, that did not necessarily mean that you're doing a bad job with the insulin shots and the food and the regulation. You're probably doing a fantastic job.
Okay.
It means that it's just a side effect of the diabetes.
Yeah.
Those cataracts typically can get removed.
Okay.
And it is not an easy surgery. It is a surgery that has to be done with a specialist, but they can mm-hmm. be removed. But you know what? Dogs do great when they develop these things.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to compensate.
They compensate amazingly well.
Yeah.
And so it's not even something to worry about if they do develop, because they don't always go blind. And if they do go blind, no big deal.
Right. They seem to just really, yeah, get around.
Amazing creatures.
Wonderfully. So I think my final question regarding diabetes is, what if you decide not to treat? If you get the diagnosis and you choose treatment is not an option for you for whatever reason, what is there to be expected? What can you say about that?
Yeah, so it's important when they are diagnosed that you understand the commitment that you're making when you're treating them.
Mm-hmm.
You're making a financial commitment to getting the insulin and the specific food.
Is that costly?
It can be. Again, it can be costly. There are some versions of the diabetic diets that they do cost more mm-hmm. than a regular bag of dog food. But again, if that is not in your budget, your veterinarian could probably come up with a different option.
Right.
But it's going to be a different food possibly that you're already on. So you might have to spend a couple extra bucks. And insulin, you know, we've come a long way with what we can use in animals. So insulin is not always going to break the bank, but it is something that is, again, it's an extra cost.
It can be costly.
It can be costly. So if you're not ready to make that financial commitment and that time commitment, mm-hmm. you've got to make some tough decisions.
Because it is it's a scheduling thing. It's something mm-hmm. that has to be on a pretty routines situation where they have to get their shots mm-hmm. at this sort of around the same time every day as best as possible, you know, to do your best there.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to commit to your animal's health. So if you're unable to make that commitment for whatever reason, it's time to make a decision. Are we going to consider finding somebody else who can help you make that, make those commitments, mm-hmm. meaning possibly finding a new home for the dog
mm-hmm.
Or cat?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's not fair to that animal to not be treated either, because it's not an easy thing to live with. They feel poorly. They mm-hmm. don't. And dogs and cats are terrible at telling us when something's wrong. But they don't feel good when they have diabetes. And so...
So really not treating is not, in your eyes, not really an option.
It's not. It's not an option mm-hmm. because it's not fair to the animal.
Because mm-hmm. They feel that crummy.
Yeah. They feel pretty poorly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can have these conversations with your veterinarian because mm-hmm. a lot of the times we do have resources to help you
absolutely.
With that. We do have them. And we will go to the ends of the earth to help you because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's important to understand the commitment that you're making when your pet is diagnosed with something like this.
Okay. Okay. That's good. That's good to know. I feel like, do you have any further comments, anything we didn't cover regarding diabetes that you think people should be aware of?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's important that if your pet is diagnosed with it, you have a long talk with your veterinarian and you ask for the resources that they have to help support you and your animal, because I think you would be surprised at what we can do for you. And just don't be intimidated by this kind of thing.
And do you feel that animals can absolutely live a long, happy, healthy life with a diagnosis of diabetes?
Absolutely. I've known many. I have known many that have done that. And there's no reason to think that they cannot still be in your life.
Okay. That's good. Good. Thank you. So I think that that's some great information, not to be intimidated by the diabetes diagnosis. So I'd like to just touch a little bit on, with the holiday coming up, you talked about pancreatitis being an issue with overfeeding rich foods. Any other quick tips and or things to be aware of with the holiday coming up with your cats or dogs that could be hazardous or toxic or things like that?
Very good question. So yes, that now that we're going into the holidays, everyone should remember that your dog, mostly your dog, but your cat too. There's some cats that like to have some table scraps. They don't need the table scraps.
Do not need. No.
Don't go to the dark side of your animal table scraps. Don't do it.
You'll be calling us.
It's bad. It's bad. So we call next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, National Veterinary Pancreatitis Day, because and the following Monday as well. So don't feed them table scraps. If you want to give them a little turkey breast, that's fine. That's nice and bland. But don't feed them the turkey with the gravy and the stuffing and the cranberry sauce and the pie.
And the bones.
And the bones.
Can we talk about the bones?
We don't need to give them bones.
No.
Goodness gracious. So don't feed them anything. Just don't do it. Yeah. And, you know, in my house, I've got to push everything back on the counter.
Yes.
I have to.
Be aware.
It's not going to be something you can just think your dog is not going to get into. They're going to get into something.
Yeah.
Push the food back. Don't let them get into it. And just remember, do not give them table scraps.
Okay. I think that's probably the quickest, biggest take home for the holidays. Thank you so much for listening to Ask the Vet. Till next time.